Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Father God, we are so grateful to be in a place where we can come and worship you today. We want to thank you for the rain. We want to thank you for being so faithful to us, even at times when we are not faithful. We want to thank you for your amazing grace. We want to thank you for the fact that, God, that you are able to do all things. For you are the creator of all things. You're the one that changes our life to give us an abundant life, and you're the one that changes our life to give us eternal life. I pray that today, that each one of us, Lord, would seek you out in a way that maybe we have not sought you out in a long time. I pray that, God, that you would speak to us through your word, through the music, that, Lord, that we can just be receptive of what you want us to know today. Fill this place, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It is great to have you here, and thank you so much. Especially coming out in the rain. Yeah, how many of you guys got rained on this morning coming in here? You know, it's hard to get out of bed. There's times when you just like, oh man, this is nice. Air conditioner's going, you got the covers on you, and it's just raining, and you could hear it. But you did it. You made it. And I pray that today would be a blessing to you. 2 weeks ago, we entered into the Gospel of John chapter 15. If you would mind turning there, please, for me. John chapter 15. Some of your Bibles may end up saying something like, the true vine. The true vine. And I asked you 2 weeks ago, as you turn to John chapter 15, how do we get more of Jesus in our life? I mean, if you got out of bed today, and you got dressed, and you got ready, and you made preparations to come here to worship the Lord, we now need to ask ourselves the question, how do we get more of Jesus in our life? I believe that you came here, hopefully, to get more of Jesus in your life. In John chapter 15, in these scriptures, we'll talk about, and Jesus uses this poetic scripture, this poetic message, maybe like no other poetic message in all of this book right here. And he asks the question, how can we bear fruit? How can we bear more fruit? How can we bear much fruit in this ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ? And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, it's easy for us in our life to lay back, to just settle with things in our life. Whether it could be in our jobs, whether it could be in our families, whether it could be even in the church. At times in our life, we lay back, we just settle for just the status quo of life. We kind of just go through the motions. I don't know if you're like that, but I know for me, there's times that I just go through motions in my day. And I just sometimes, it may just be, you know what, today is just survival day. I'm just trying to make it today. If I can make it past this meeting, if I can make it through this part of this crisis, if I can make it through this particular scenario that I'm being tested with. And maybe sometimes that's what you go through in your life. And sometimes we're not even planners of the future. We're just saying, you know what, today, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. And what a positive way to look at that. But Jesus shows us here in this text The purpose of our life is to bear fruit, to stay connected to the vine. And I'm going to tell you, whether you are these different generations, you know, we got all these different generations and you hear about it, and we're classified in generations sitting here in the church, and those that are listening online, that you may be a generation of the GI generation from 1901 to 1926. You may be the silent generation from 27 to 1945. You may be part of the baby boomer, 1946 to 1964. You may be a Gen Xer from 1965 to 1980. You may be this generation Y from 1981 to the year 2000. And then from 2000 to today, we hear it a lot. You see videos a lot of this whole idea of being part of this millennium, this new era of people coming in. They also have another name for it. They call it the boomlets. Or Generation Z, or the boomlets, because this is the era of time that has now surpassed the baby boomer age generation. More children in this time frame is being born than way past from the baby boomer age. It has already surpassed it. And no matter what generation you want to classify yourself in, or people have classified you in, you're in the classification from Christ that says, stay connected to the vine. Amen. It doesn't matter what generation you come from. The generation you're going into and the generation of forever of eternity is that we got to stay connected to the vine. I mentioned 2 weeks ago, fruit always bears the character of the vine that it is a part of. An apple tree should always bear an apple. It should not be bearing a banana. The expectation of the vine dresser, of the gardener, is to bear the fruit that it is actually connected to. Right? If you're bearing something else, then it's also obviously contrary to what it is expected to bear. Number two, the fruit is always visible to benefit others. Nowhere in Scripture, as I said 2 weeks ago, that we are set up. Nowhere in this book is it said to be a secret Christian, to be the secret agent, to stay hidden as a Christian. If we are staying hidden, if we're staying in our pews, if we're staying in our homes, if we're not going out doing missions, if we're not going and talking about Christ, if we don't want to be the salt and the light for the earth, for this world, for this dark world, for whatever generation's coming, then we're not doing what God has asked us to do. Matthew 5:13 tells us to be the salt and the light of the earth. Why? So that people can benefit from that fruit. What happens to fruit when it's not eaten? It's rotten. It's going to go bad. When it's consumed by itself, it's always going to get rotten. Remember being the church, being here today, and understanding that our life is meant for not ourselves. It's meant for service. What is this? This is a worship what? It's a worship service. It's not so much what you're going to get out of this today, but what are you going to give to this today? What are you going to give to this service today? I'm not talking necessarily about monetary, but how are you praising God today? How did you come here this morning? Were you excited about coming and worshiping the Lord and coming to serve the Lord in whatever way with your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength? Or did you come just to receive something? This is a worship service. Give to the Lord. In John 15, 1 through 3, we read, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear, what? More fruit. You are already cleaned. You are already saved. You are already a Christian. Hold on to that. You are already clean. You are already saved because of the word which I have spoken to you. God is the vine dresser. He's the garden. Jesus is the true vine. We are the what? The branches. Please make sure you know the order of who you are. Oftentimes, we sometimes feel like we may be the vine dresser. We may be the gardener of our own life. We may end up actually sometimes even moving and seeing that Jesus is not even anywhere here. It just goes from me to me. That I'm in control of all of my world. And that these other two don't have anything to do with my garden or my vineyard. But Jesus says, I am the true vine. In the book of John, did you know this is the last time Jesus uses the words, I am? The last time he uses the word, I am, describing his deity. Seven times in the book of John, he uses the word, I am. And on this last time, he says, I am the true vine. In verse 2, the first concern that we see about the Christian who bears no fruit, the one that is saved, the one that is cleaned. We talked about this last time. It is possible for a Christian to be saved, but to not be bearing any fruit. Nothing is showing up. Nothing is representing the visible character of that vine. It's possible that you are a believer here today, but possibly your desires are not God's desires. We're seeking our kingdoms, but we're not seeking thy kingdom come. Your will may be not God's will be done. Crises in our life are due to the consequences of our sin and not of the Holy Spirit's convictions. And we see this all the time. And I'll be honest, I see this in my own life. When sin begins to creep in my life, when pride takes over, when the lust of the eyes, when things that go my way, when I'm being tempted and I fall into that temptation, my will was done, not thy will. My plans to prosper me, but not God's plans in Jeremiah 29:11. My confusion, my crises come up, and I never even see God's convictions because it's all about me. It's all about my garden. A faith that saves you should be a faith that changes you. I think about that all the time in my life. A faith that saves me should be a faith that changes me. If I'm truly saved, then I should desire more of Jesus Christ. The first question I ask you is, how do we desire, how do we get more of Jesus Christ? How do we get that when our desires are not to go that way, when I truly want to live my own life, my own way, have my own vineyard, be the gardener of my own vineyard? And then something's going to happen. If you are truly saved, if you're clean, if God knows your heart, the gardener's going to take action in your life if you're not growing, if you're not developing, if you're not looking more like the vine. He's going to take action. In verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He takes it away. He throws it over here. He lights it on fire. He stomps on it. He puts more gasoline on it. Why? Because you're worthless. It doesn't say that. Thank goodness it doesn't say that, right? Some of you were looking at me, dude, this guy's crazy. In the Greek, he comes, he takes every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he takes it away. In the Greek, it means to lift up. He takes the vine off the ground. He lifts it up to get more sunlight so it's not dragging on the ground, so it's not getting stomped on, so it's not getting burned, so it's not getting eaten, so it's not getting messed up on the ground. And there he's going and he hangs it up. When he sees it, he hangs it up on this platform. And he allows it to get what it needs to have, but he lifts it up. Putting the vine and the branches on a post. So the first thing that God wants to do is encourage those who are not producing fruit. You can only ask, I can't tell you if you're producing fruit or not. Are you? I can only see the visible representation, what may overflow from that. He encourages those who are not producing fruit that there is more to abiding Christian than just saying that you are one. How many people do we know that when you ask them, are you a Christian? And they say, yes. And you're wondering, really? He does not want us to be saved and satisfied with Sunday mornings, but to be serious and sanctified for daily worship service. Don't be satisfied. Don't just go through the status quo. Don't just go and just live a life of your own, but go and say, you know what, God, I'm really, really serious. I don't want it to just be about Sunday morning. I don't want to show up once a month. I don't want to just show up and read my Bible once a year. I don't want to just be a person that comes on Easter. I want to be a person that is constantly serious and sanctified every single day for a worship service that would be honoring you so that I can bear more fruit in my life. And if we buy into this encouragement, notice I said in this encouragement that he lifts us up, the Greek of lifting us up and putting us on a post together. Not the God that sometimes people say, he's just out to punish me and he's coming here just to come get me. If we go with that particular God, then we are looking at the wrong God with the wrong type of eyes, because I don't read that type of God. There are consequences for sin, yes. There are a just God, yes. But this is talking to a person that is saved here. Remember that. And this is talking about a person that's clean, that is saved, truly saved. A person that deep down wants to bear more fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, each person that is wanting to come and to read God's word, to study, to seek his will, to live for him, he does something. Watch this. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes that it may bear more fruit in your life. He says, in your Christian development, there's going to be pruning. There's going to be pruning. And it can happen at any time, it can happen at anywhere, and it can happen to any person. How many of you guys, this is a rhetorical question, have seen some pruning done in your own life by God? Pruning was very important to a vine dresser. You can go to Napa Valley, and pruning is always about removing things that suck away the nutrients from getting to the fruit so that the fruit can get bigger and be what it's supposed to be. And the way that this vine dresser does this is he gets rid of the things that suck out the nutrients that gets in the way of the main branch. And this is called a sucker shoot. There's a picture of it. A sucker shoot. A shoot is a small little branch that grows out of the vine. It siphons off the sap and the nutrition that comes from the vine to get to the main branch, to get to the main fruit, to become big and healthy as it was intended and expected to be. And that little small little branch, that small little sucker shoot can play havoc in a branch and play havoc in someone's fruit bearing. Sometimes it's not even noticeable. When you go out and look at your trees, go and look at all the sucker shoots that is taking away the nutrients from your main branch or your fruit tree. And in order this to occur, for a gardener to prune, the vine dresser must get rid of some things that is going to get in the way of that. So how does God prune us in order to expand and make us more fruitful? How does he do that? Here's a spoiler alert. Most of us are not going to like it. Most of us are not going to like the pruning. Here's another spoiler alert. The vine dresser truly tends to every single vineyard personally. He looks at you. He looks at you. He looks at you. He looks at all the sucker shoots on your branches. Because I believe that we all have them at times that needs to be pruning. Remember, no one at any time is beyond getting pruned. If you are a growing Christian, you're going to get pruned because the vine dresser sees it on your branch. He sees what's getting in the way for you to be able to produce more fruit in your life. But notice what I said, the vine dresser truly tends. He takes care of. He notices his vineyard personally. John 3:17, it won't be up there. For God, this is after the most popular verse of all, John 3:16, but right after that, John 3:16, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Does that sound like a God that wants to take care of you, that wants to save you, that wants to help you? If not, here's the seven I ams in your life. Hold on to this. He is the bread of life for you. He is the light of the world for you. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gatekeeper. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to me except through the Father, through Jesus Christ alone. And then he says, I'm going to sum it all up. I'm going to use the gematria. I'm going to use the numerology of number seven to show my completeness to you. I am the true vine. I am the true vine of your life. So when God is pruning us, he's there tending to us. He may use our trials. He may even use consequences of sin to get rid of some of the things that are going on that's sucking the nutrients of our Christian life. And you know what? Sometimes it may not even be sin. But God can allow negative things to occur in our life to help us even grow in our faith. How do I know that? When you read the book of Job, it's very, very clear. Where God says, have you considered my faithful servant Job? Have you considered my faithful servant Curtis? Have you considered my faithful servant, Carrie, Nathan, Nakia, Nella, Kyle, and so on and so forth? God, why is all this stuff happening to me? What in the world is going on? And God says to the devil, have you considered my faithful servant? You. Maybe God has proven to the devil that you are truly his. What a compliment. What an honor. Oh, you want to see a faithful, you want to see a faithful branch? Satan? Let me show you this one. This one is bearing all kinds of great fruit. Oh, you want to see this person? Oh, let me show you this person. Oh, this is a person you want to mess with? You think when you mess with this person, he's going to say, curse you, God, and die? Go ahead. Watch it. Watch him stand up against you. See, there's nothing that happens to you that does not first go through the grips of God's hands. Ever. There's nothing that happens to you that does not first go through the grips of God's hands ever. You don't have to worry. It's already gone through the grips of His hands that already has you. That means if something is happening to you that you did not cause on yourself, it's already gone through His hands. Have you considered my servant? God is sovereign. God is holy. God is just. God is love. God is grace. God is the gardener of your life, and He has you. He knows just the right tools to get the most out of His vineyard. And in Napa Valley, when they have these large vineyards to produce all this wine, you know who they call? They call an expert. Who is the expert? The vine dresser. The gardener. To do the pruning, using the right tools, at the right season, on the right branches. Why? Because when the vine dresser does that, he's getting the best and the most out of his wine, out of the grapes. So they call on the expert to take care of all the pruning, to get the most out of its Christian. You and I must dignify our trials. We have to look at them different than the way that the world or unbelievers will look at them. You see the post like I see the post on Facebook. You see the emails. You see the media. All the things that they post and all the things that go on. But then you always see, every once in a while, you'll see someone post something that says that God is sovereign. God is love. God is just. God's got this. Those are the people that are the salt and the light. That says, wake up, world. God's got this. The wake up world, because right now you're in control of your own vineyard and you have not let the true vine dresser come in into your life. And that's why they're experiencing some things that they're experiencing. Even Christians struggle in their faith. Trials can be painful, but it's always purposeful. Even though it may not be something we want, God has decided it is something that you need to bear more fruit. How many of you guys have read James 1:2 when it says, consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Perseverance is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be what? Mature, complete, ripe, ready to go, to be enjoyed, to be benefited. Not lacking what? Anything. This morning, is anybody going through any trials? This morning, is anybody truly going through any trials? Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe you're coming out of one. If not, maybe you're about to go into one. That's encouraging. It's going to happen, though. It's one of those three. You're either in one, you're coming out of one, or you're about to go into one. Because, see, he's pruning in your life. Why, God? Why, God? I sat down with my wife and I asked her if it was okay for me to share this. But I had to sit down for a good while and I had to ask myself, do I really want to share this? $8.08, buddy. July 26, 2017. Y'all seeing what I'm seeing? Never in a million years, in 27 years of my Christian life, or 3 years as your pastor, would I ever, ever want to show this. That's my checkbook. And then I sat down with my kids and I showed them my checkbook. So I took a picture of it because I didn't know when I would ever share this, because I didn't know if I would ever have the strength or the courage to share this. Went to Dollar General. Target, $33. Target's killing me. That put me down to $8.08. I was doing good at $51.62. That was enough money for Taco Bell on 727. How many of you guys are feeling sorry for me? Don't feel sorry for me. I want you to see the blessing. The very next day is 727. You know what that is, don't you? That's payday. In GISD, we call that payday. We call that target day. Don't feel sorry for me because I was down to $8.08 at the end of the month. Praise God that I had $8.08. I had a surplus this month. "27 years of being a Christian, I would have never, in a million years, not only showed you that, but I would have never believed that. I would have never saw that in my life. I would have said, why, God? Why do I not have a job that pays me a lot more money? Why, God, did I have to spend that much money at Target? I should have did the Walmart. Bad choices. Why, God? Instead, it took me 27 years to say, woo, I made it this month. What a blessing, because there wasn't a little dash in between, in front of that, that said negative 808. I was on top. And that didn't happen a lot of times either. Sometimes you just got to get real. Why? Because the more that I get real with you guys, the more that you guys will hang out with me and talk to me and say, hey, we're all in this together. Aren't we? We're all going to go through certain things in our life. I don't know what it is, whether it's school or kids or marriage or struggling in our faith, or maybe, man, we've just been going astray and we just don't feel connected. Whatever it is that's going through your testing and your trials, we can all be together because someone has been down your path. Remember, I am being pruned by the great I am. Do we seriously want to be sanctified? Do we seriously want to grow in our relationship with the Lord? Every test is designed to prune you. Sometimes God prunes you from other people. Sometimes He prunes you from problems. Sometimes He prunes you from possessions and money. Sometimes He prunes us from positions. Sometimes He prunes us even in prison. Here's my letters I'm collecting from the lady that's in a member of our church that's an inmate. And she wrote me this August 5th, and I got it. "Like always, sin got ugly, huge depths of shame. But then it happened. Prison sentence brought change." What change? It took me to the truth. No matter how nasty it could be, whose truth are you believing? Just because it's true to you or I doesn't make it true. God didn't say life is easy or perfect. What He promises is that He's to remain with us if we ask Him. I strive daily to rededicate my life to what God says is truth. We all have flaws, yet God loves us anyways. He will set us free from whatever enslaves us. This just requires us to submit. God has a great plan for each of our life. I won't settle for my way. I'm going to live God's way. Inmate. He prunes us each day. He prunes us even from pity parties, complaining about things that we have no control over to things that we do have control over. Sometimes we're a branch that has these beautiful red apples and we're complaining because it's not green apples. And then we're complaining because, oh my goodness, it's so ripe and they're beautiful red apples, but they're heavy and they're holding me down. And then we're not getting picked fast enough. I see that in my own life. I'm like, if I can complain about something, I will. I'll find something to complain about. Even though he might have a beautiful red, awesome apple ready and ripe, I will complain it's not green, it's too heavy, and it's not getting picked fast enough. So what should we ask the gardener of our life? What is the purpose for this pruning today? Sometimes we don't know what to ask. So James 1:5 goes on and says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given unto you. And just like any good teacher, God does believe in retesting and reteaching if we didn't learn or pass the test the first time. You'll see that testing. You'll see that trial. It may not look exactly the same way. It may not be the exact same test, but the good teacher is going to retest you. It's going to happen. 10 times in this passage, from 1 to 16, you will find the word, starting in verse 4, abide in me. Why? Because it's the key ingredient to maximize much fruit in your life. It's the next progression. It's the progression you want to be at, to be able to maximize much fruit, to have this deeper walk with the Lord. See, at the very beginning, you go from no fruit, even as a Christian, to now bearing much fruit. Doesn't that sound better? No fruit or much fruit. I worked at an apple orchard in Lubbock. They had trees there. I know that I went to the trees that had a whole lot of fruit, because every time I saw that fruit and I filled up a bushel, I got 50 cents for that bushel. I didn't go to a dead tree. I went to the tree that was alive and that was growing, that was producing, so I could get the most out of it. The Greek word for abiding means meno. Abiding means to stay. It means to hang out. It means to remain. It means to loiter. And it means to rest. To rest in Jesus Christ. As I come into the end here, I want to finish this off, 4-8. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And I remember in college, my roommate, handsome guy here, dark black hair, kind of curled a little bit all over his hair, a little back there, and it flowed, and it was nice hair. He got remarks from his hair all the time, from his girlfriend. And I remember his girlfriend came in town one time. And we decided after eating, we decided to rent a movie and watch this movie. So they were sitting on the couch and I was sitting on this other chair. And I looked over and he was just kind of just stroking her long old hair. And he was just stroking it. Just kind of twirling his fingers through it. And then she was like getting her fingers and going like this. I stopped watching the movie. I figured it's going to get better than the movie I was watching. I was not uncomfortable at all. At all. I was like, that's what they do then, huh? I never had a girlfriend, so I didn't know. Okay. Their hair was connected to their head, and they were just flowing their fingers through it. Just playing with it, just watching the movie, just looking at each other, oohing and gah, and I was just watching. Because it was connected to their heads. It was shampooed, conditioned, it was groomed. They had it all fixed up, and then it started just getting kind of messy. And so she was out of town that next morning. You know, he took his shower and got dressed, and she went into the bathroom after him, decided to go take a shower. And I hear her screaming. Ah! Gross! Ugh! Gross! And then she'd step out, and she's like, oh, the sink! Ah! Gross! Just everywhere she was going, just nasty! And I was like, what in the world is going on? Over and over, gross, sick. So when she comes out, she's like complaining that his hair is all over the bathtub. It's all over the sink, small little stuff all over the sink. Just nasty. Stepping down on the ground with her wet feet. It was now collecting on in between the toes. I mean, it was getting all over her. And I was thinking to myself, you liked that hair the night before. You were sitting there stroking your hands all in that, making all these opposite type of noises that you're making now. And those long locks of hair. And it wasn't so bad the night before. And the reason why is because it was connected to the head. Where it was meant to be the whole time. Where it was taken care of. Where it was groomed. Where it was shampooed and conditioned and cut at the perfect places. But once it got disconnected from that head, and went all over the floor, all over the sink, all in the shower. No longer abiding, no longer remaining, no longer loitering, no longer resting where it needed to be resting. It became disgusting. It became gross. Matter of fact, it became downright repulsive. Restaurants fear it. I know I do. If I see hair, I'll in my food, it's going back, and I won't eat there anymore. When I get my hair cut, the last thing they do when I look down at all my gray is they sweep that up, and I tell them to hurry up for an extra buck. I don't want everyone to see all that gray on the floor. It's repulsive. It's not supposed to be on the ground. It's not supposed to be in your food. It's nasty. It's gross. It's abiding in the wrong place. But when it's on your head, look at David. Look how handsome this guy is. It looks amazing. Why? Because it's where it's supposed to be. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Without being connected to the vine of Jesus, we're sinful, gross, repulsive that needs to be lifted up, encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ, placed on a post, not to be thrown away, be lifted up and put on the post. Be lifted up and be put on the post. Why? Because the vine dresser loves you no matter what you have done in your life. Menno, rest in me. Rest in me. Where are you minnowing right now? Where are you remaining in your life right now? Where are you abiding? The whole paradox, the whole idea of this teaching, why it is so poetic, why it is so life-changing, why it is so amazing, is because it's not about what you do. It's about resting in Him. We got church wrong so oftentimes, we always got to think that we got to be doing more. It's not about doing more. It's about being more in Him. You'll kill yourself trying to do more for Christ. That's how we burn out all the time. I want you to serve. Yes, this is a worship service. I want you to give. I want you to do those things. Yes, but I, in Christ, in this teaching, says, abide in me. You rest in me every single day. You rest in me if you want to bear much fruit. It's not about doing more. It's about resting more in Him. Because I am worn out. Isn't it nice just to be able to sip a cup of coffee and just rest in Him during your quiet time? And then say, what's next, Lot, God? What's next? Stay connected. God is the great teacher in times of testing. God is the personal pruner of things that keeps you growing. And God is the great vine dresser who personally knows His vineyard. The same faith that will save you will be the same faith that will change your life forever. Menno today. Rest in Him. Let's pray. And that's our prayer, Lord, is that we can just rest in You today. There's no other place that You want us to be besides abiding in You. If we're going to loiter, let us loiter in Your word. If we're going to abide, let us abide in our prayer time with You. If we're going to minnow and rest in You, let us do that over a cup of coffee with a friend. Let us do that in our own rooms in a private place and just get connected again for the first time. If we're going to do that, maybe for some of us, we need to do that right now. We have to be connected. And I pray that, God, that there's anyone here today that does not know You in a personal way, that it does even know that You are the true vine, that's never even met the vine dresser, their gardener. I pray that they would replace themselves and realize that You could do a much better job, for You are the true expert of every vineyard. Today, we remain in You. And I pray that, God, that You will remain in us each and every day in our walk with You. Let us seriously be sanctified today. Let us truly be changed today. For You know each person here and You know their heart. I pray that today would be the day that if they've never put their trust in You, that they would do so today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.